me up when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Verse 1. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind.
Mercy of grace, of truth, and of love. We've come to this place tonight to thank Him for Jesus and the gospel. We've come to thank Him for the Holy Spirit and the Church of Christ. We've come tonight to lift up the matchless and the mighty name of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be in this house. I'm glad to be here tonight because God is here. I'm glad to be here tonight because Christ is here. I'm glad to be here tonight because the Holy Spirit is here. And I'm glad to be here tonight because you are here. And if you are a visitor with us tonight and do not necessarily share with us in our religious convictions, that is, if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you are indeed our honored guest. And if someone here tonight does not treat you with kindness and respect, just conclude that they are not members of the Patrick City Church of Christ. They have come from somewhere else. Because I know this church knows how to treat people. I don't know how you feel tonight, but I feel good. I feel good because the Word of God is in this house. And I know the Word of God still has the transforming power to convert the souls of men. Now, we're going to have ourselves a good time while we're here. So you don't have to sit under this tent all tensed. You can relax a little bit. But most importantly, open your Bibles. Because this is a Bible-believing church. We believe that the Bible is the Word of God. We don't have anything else to present to you, only the Word of God. Again, I want to thank Brother Mitchell for this invitation to be with you. And it's good to be able to look out over the audience and know that there are others who preach the Word of God. And I just want to let you know, good to see you, Brother Fisher. I just want to let you know that it is an honor to be able to stand among preachers and proclaim the Word of God. Now, I preach in Pontiac, Michigan, but I'm originally from Greenville, Mississippi, and that's in the Deep South. And in the Deep South, when it comes down to preaching, we like it loud and long. So I hope you can bear the loudness, and Lord knows I hope you can stay for a while. I want to invite your attention to to the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. I want to read verses 13 and 14. That is 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, beginning with verse number 13. We didn't come here to impress anyone. We simply came to speak a word from the Word. And I hope that as you look at the Word of God with us tonight, that you will find your place in the Lord and that you will work out your soul salvation. If I came tonight to impress you, I will tell you that as the euangelites, I'm going to euangelizo you with the euangelion. But you didn't come here for me to impress you. You came here to hear the Word of God. And since you've come to hear the Word of God, I'll just simply say, as the evangelist, I will preach unto you the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that plain and simple? Who in the world is the euangelites to euangelizo you with the euangelion? You don't want to hear that, do you? What I know you want to hear as a preacher, the good news of Jesus. The Bible says, but we abound
to give thanks
always to God for you.
Brethren, beloved
of the Lord,
because God has
from the beginning
chosen you
to salvation
through sanctification of
the Spirit
and belief of the truth,
whereunto
he called you by our gospel. To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.
I want to address the subject tonight, the sanctification of the Spirit and the sanctified church. The sanctification of the Spirit and the sanctified church. Do you all have time to listen? The Apostle Paul makes it clear from this text that God has from the beginning chosen you through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. It is my responsibility in this message to help you to understand the doctrine of the sanctification of the Spirit and the sanctified church. Many people think that when a person is sanctified, the carnal, fleshly, worldly nature is completely eradicated or done away with, that they are now sinless, filled with the Holy Spirit, and if they sin, it should be charged to their head and not to their heart. But I stop by to let you know tonight that we're going to look at the biblical view of the sanctification of the Spirit and the sanctified church. We are not going to disconnect this text and teach something that this text does not teach. We want to do somewhat of an exposé of this text without delving into the textual criticism. And yet we are going to use other texts on the same subject to help us to understand this text. I don't know how you all feel about it, but I believe that every time you read the Bible, you ought to always look at a verse in what we call a context. Now, the first thing you need to do, you need to look at what we call the text. And when you see the text is always surrounded by a context. And if you want to deal with this subject in other places,
then you go there and we call that text a distant text. Now, what I plan to do tonight, I plan to deal with the text, look at it within the context, and then go to a remote or a distant text to help us to understand the text. I didn't come here to be smart. I came here to preach the word of God. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 28 and verse 9, the Bible said, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept.
Precept upon precept.
Line. Upon line.
Line upon line.
Line upon line.
Here a little.
Here a little.
And there a little.
And there a little. Now notice, whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. In other words, when it comes down to teaching knowledge and helping people to understand doctrine, a person must have a certain level of maturity. Those that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. That tells me that babies are not taught the knowledge of God's word. That tells me that you cannot help babies to understand doctrine. They must be mature enough in mind to be taught knowledge and to be made to understand doctrine. That's why so many people, when they get up in life, they want to go back and get baptized again. Because the first time, they were not taught properly, nor did they understand properly. So they had to go back and redo what they thought they had done the first time. So what I want to do in this message, I want to define what we are dealing with. I want to show you the meaning of sanctification. That tells us what it is. I want to show you the manner of sanctification. That's how we become sanctified. And then I want to show you the members of sanctification. That deals with who we are. Now let's look at this thing and let's see it from God's point of view. Number one, I want to know what is sanctification. We must first of all define what it is. And if we can find out what it is, then we'll know how we as Christians ought to live. Make no mistake about it. When I use the word sanctification, it comes from a Greek word that is transliterated, hagiosmos. Hagiosmos comes from a word, hagiazo. Hagiago comes from a word, hagios. And it simply means purification. It means the state of purity. It means a purifier. Or the word we use is to be holy. That word holy is translated from the same word, hagios. It means the same thing. So when you read holiness in your Bible, you are actually reading sanctification in your Bible. When you read holy in your Bible, you are really reading sanctified in your Bible. Are you all paying attention? I need you to pay attention. You see, a lot of children go to school. They don't make good grades in school because they don't pay attention. Oh, they are smart. They know what they are doing. But they are easily distracted. Things get in their way. They don't focus. And as a result, they don't make good grades. Well, let me leave the children and come to some of you grown folks. I hate to say it like this, but y'all are the same way. Are you getting it? You come to church, and the devil doesn't mind you being here. You sit in the audience, and the devil doesn't mind you being here. You even open your Bible, the devil doesn't mind you opening your Bible. But you find yourself looking all around, writing notes, doing other stuff, as long as you don't pay attention. He's satisfied. But what I need you to do tonight, I need you to pay attention to what I'm preaching. Because if you will pay attention, you will learn what the Lord wants you to know. And I still believe that the truth makes men free. Do you remember Romans chapter 8 and verse number 2? The Bible said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that makes us free. And if we don't get the gospel, which is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, we will never be free. Now come over to Romans chapter 6, verses 19 and 22. I just want to show you of this word hagios, because you need to see it. Somebody might say, well, preacher, how do you spell that word? That's H-A-G-I-O-S. Are you all with me? I don't want to leave anybody up in here. Oh, I know how people talk. Well, honey, I was there, but you know, child, I didn't understand anything that man said. Oh, yes, you understand. I'm going to make it plain. I don't know if I've told you before, but if Ray Charles was still alive and Stevie Wonder was sitting beside him, Ray Charles would bend over and say to Stevie, I see it, Stevie. Blind people can see what I preach. The only way you don't see it, you don't want to see it. I know the Bible is right. You can't help but see it. Are you in Romans chapter 6, verse number 19? Paul said, I speak
after the manner of men,
because of the infirmity
of your flesh.
For as ye have yielded your members,
servants
to
uncleanness,
and to iniquity,
even so
now
yield your members
servants
to righteousness,
unto holiness. We have lived in the past from iniquity to iniquity. Mm-hmm. We have lived in the past under carnality and worldliness. But now, as we come into Christ, we are servants of righteousness. Mm-hmm. Our members are members of righteousness. We have connected with Christ, and because we are connected with Christ, we should live holy lives.
Right.
Everybody that meets us ought to know we belong to Christ. And the only person in here who claims to live above sin is the person who lives on the third floor of an apartment building. You catch it after a while. Don't worry about it. It will register. The only way you live above sin, honey, your house, your apartment is over some sinners downstairs. Other than that, guess what? Romans 3:23 said, for all have sinned Now, how? Wait a minute. Don't rush me. All have sinned. Now, how can you live above sin if all have sinned? The only way you can live above sin is that you live on the third floor upstairs. And there's the most folk downstairs. They are sinning downstairs. And you are connected because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need to understand that. And when we understand that, we'll have a better understanding of sanctification. So let's deal with this thing. Look at verse 22 in the same text.
But now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God.
Ye have your fruit unto holiness,
and the end everlasting life.
Now where is your fruit? Is unto
holiness.
Or what is holiness? What is sanctification? What is hagios? We need to see what it is. I can see the practical application or to live a certain way. But what is it? We need to define sanctification a little bit more. Sanctification is very crucial to the Christian life. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 2. Then we are going back to Exodus chapter 13, verses 2 and 12. Let's define what it is. We need to see what it is. In 1 Peter chapter 2, chapter 1 rather, and verse number 2. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 2. Peter said, elect
according to the foreknowledge of God the Father
through sanctification of the Spirit
unto obedience
and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ
grace unto you
and peace be multiplied. Here again he said the sanctification of the Spirit. Did you catch it? Now Paul talked about it in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 13 and 14. Now Peter talks about it. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. In other words, if a person gets sanctified, it is through the Spirit. It is by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God sanctifies us today. But the question is, how does he do it? I know he does it. But I'm going to show you how he does. So many people don't understand how the sanctification process is done. Or they'll stand up and tell you in a New York minute. Well, you know that New York is quick and fast paced in New York. So they'll tell you in a quick minute, oh, I'm sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And you know, when they talk like that, I know they don't really know what they're talking about, but that's how they talk. And so we, as members of the Church of Christ, we have to help them to understand the sanctification process. Well, let's look at it. You know, in Romans 15 and 4, Paul said, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience
and
comfort of the Scripture
might have hope.
Now notice, he said, for whatsoever thing were written aforetime were written
for our learning.
Now the book of Exodus was written aforetime. It came before the letter to the Romans. So it was written aforetime. Well, if we go back to the book of Exodus, since it was written for our learning, we need to see if we can learn what sanctification means. We need to see if we can learn what God meant when he said, sanctify. You all still have time? Well, I want to deal with it. I want you to see what he's saying. Because his word is right. Are you in Exodus 13 and verse number 2? The Bible says,
sanctify unto me.
Sanctify. Now notice, what's the first word we see?
Sanctify.
We see sanctify. He says, sanctify unto me.
All the firstborn.
All the firstborn.
Whatsoever openeth the womb.
Openeth the womb.
Among the children
of
Israel.
Among the children of Israel.
Both of man.
Both of man.
And of beast.
And of beast.
It is mine.
It is mine. God says, sanctify. Well, what does that mean? Sanctify. Drop down to verse 12. Let's see what it means.
And thou shalt set
and
apart.
And thou shalt
set apart.
Wait a minute. Thou shalt set
apart.
Apart.
Unto the Lord.
Unto the Lord.
All that
openeth the matrix.
And every firstling.
Every firstling.
That cometh
that
of a beast.
Of a beast.
Which thou
hast. Thou hast.
And the male shall be the Lord's.
Shall be the Lord's. Now, in verse 2, he said, sanctify. In verse 12, he said, set apart. So what does sanctify mean? It means to set apart. When you become a child of God, he sets you apart from the devil's children. You get it? The devil has children. Oh, I'm sorry, children. I forgot. And the devil has children. And the Lord has children. So when you go through the sanctification process, you are taken from the devil's kingdom, translated into the Lord's kingdom. You are set apart from the Satan that you used to serve. So what God does, God takes you through a process to get you from the devil's kingdom into the kingdom of his dear son. Oh, if I had time, I'd go over to Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. What Paul said, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Now watch this. The Bible says he has delivered us from the power
of darkness
and has translated us into the
kingdom
of his dear Son. Now notice, you need to see the manner in which this is done. Now notice, I see what sanctify means. I'm not worried anymore. I know to be sanctified means to be set apart. I know to be sanctified means to be holy. I know to be sanctified means to be a vessel set for God's use. So I'm not worried about the meaning now. I need to see the manner. I need to see how I'm sanctified. Now notice, I won't have time to deal with all of the stuff that I want to deal with. So God has sanctified many things. He sanctified the firstborn infants and the firstborn animals. We just read it in Exodus 13:2. He sanctified the people. Exodus 19 and 10. He sanctified the priests. Exodus 19, 22. He sanctified Mount Sinai. Exodus 19, 23. He sanctified the tabernacle. Exodus 29, verse 43. God has sanctified many things. And I can't deal with all of that, but at least I'll let you know I've done my homework. Isn't that all right? I think people need to know preachers are doing their homework. I think church members need to know that preachers are in the study. And I tell any church, I tell the church why I preach. When I'm in my office, don't be calling me all day. I know what you're thinking. Now, if it's something that's wrong, call me. But don't call me asking me what I'm doing. I'm studying. Don't call me asking me what I'm going to do the rest of the day. I'm going to study. What is a preacher? What is a preacher? What should a preacher be doing during the day when he's not out trying to win souls? He ought to be doing what God told him to do. Man, we can't hardly study for some church members. They don't want anything. Lady called me one night, man, I'm in the bed. I'm saying, brother, oh, what are you doing? I say, honey, what you ought to be doing? Sleeping. What kind of sense does that make? Man, studying works on the brain. If you do it right, you will be brain tired. Preachers need to rest. I'm not joking about this thing. I'm serious about it. The average preacher can't preach a good sermon on Sunday because he's been wearing with members who don't want anything all week long. Oh, you have time, preacher? Can we go get some coffee? Well, when I get ready for some coffee, let me call you. Oh, I don't mean it, huh? I'm not trying to stop you all from being a good people to the preacher. You ought to be good to the preacher. But what I'm trying to get you to see, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see that word, study? It comes from a Greek word, a spadazo. That word spadazo means to give diligence, to make haste, to give speed. It means to be diligent. It means to labor, to toil, to work. Paul is telling the preacher, you ought to work, labor, toil, make diligence, make haste to make your calling and election sure. You ought to do it so that when you study, you can rightly divide the word of truth. And that's a part of the problem today. Preachers are not in the study like they ought to be. We need to give the man time to develop his messages. Man puts 2 and 3 hours into a sermon and you want him to preach it in 15 minutes. I'm pleading my case this week. Oh yes, man, you want me to hurry up and do it and sit down. But we have to develop our messages so that people can understand them. Now, what is the manner of sanctification? We need to see how a person is sanctified in the New Testament. Let's read this text again. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 13 and 14. Let's look at it again.
But we are bound to give thanks always to God.
Bound to give thanks always to God for you.
Brethren, the love of the Lord. Because God has chosen
from the beginning.
Chosen you for salvation.
Unto salvation.
Through sanctification.
Of the Spirit.
And belief of the truth.
Now watch this. Sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Mm-hmm. Before you can get sanctified, you must first of all believe the truth. If you don't believe the truth, you will never get sanctified. And I'll tell you right now, many men are preaching, but they are not preaching the truth. And folk are responding to what they are preaching. They are claiming sanctification, but they are not sanctified because the truth has not been preached nor obeyed. So before you can go through the sanctification process, you must first of all believe the truth. A lot of people are having problems believing the truth. Whatever is in the Bible is the truth. Whatever God said is the truth. We can't change it. We can't alter it. And as preachers, we can't deviate from it. We must tell what God said. Now watch verse 14 so you get a better understanding of belief of the truth. Whereunto
He called you. By our gospel.
To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now what did He call you by?
He called you by our gospel.
That's right. Now understand something. Before you can be sanctified, you must be called by the gospel.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Not by the law of Moses. Not by a patriarchal system. But you must be called by the gospel. When you talk about the gospel, you are talking about some facts. Jesus was born. He lived. He died. He was buried. He arose the third day. He's sitting on the right hand of God. And He's coming back again. Those are facts. And every person must be taught the facts. If you don't believe that He came and died, was buried, arose again, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and He's coming back, then you are not ready to be sanctified. You must believe that. Oh, I hear people talking, but let me tell you, God's word is right. I'm not worried about men. I'm concerned about what's in the Word of God. And I know there are folks who say He didn't even die. Well, you can't be sanctified if you don't believe that He died. Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which ye also received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sin, according to the Scripture, that He was buried, and He arose again the third day, according to the Scripture." That's 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. I know the Bible is right. Paul said that Jesus died, was buried, and arose again. Those are facts of the gospel. But then there are commands of the gospel. There are things that God has commanded you to do in order for you to become sanctified. Oh yes, you must believe what you've heard. Oh yes, you must repent of your sin. Oh yes, you must confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. And oh yes, you must be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Oh yes, you must be faithful unto the Lord calls you home. Yes, there are commands of the gospel. But I need to work on this sanctification process a little bit more. You see, God provided the power, the means, and manner of our sanctification. We just need to see what God has done. The power and the means are God's part. The manner is when we come in and do what God told us to do. Go to Jude 1. And don't ask me which verse. Or don't ask me which chapter. Let's just go to Jude. Isn't that all right? Let's go to Jude. Let's watch Jude. That's right before you get to Revelation. Let's watch this. Verse number 1. Let's watch this. The Bible said,
Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. And brother of James.
To them that are sanctified.
By God the Father. And preserved in Jesus Christ. And called.
Now notice. He said, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. Mm-hmm. You can't miss this. Every member of the Godhead has a part in your sanctification. Mm-hmm. Did you hear what I just said? Every member of the Godhead has a part in your sanctification. Now here we are sanctified by God the Father. Yeah. Isn't that what it says?
Yeah.
Well, go to Hebrews 10 and verse 10. Let's walk through it. I don't mind walking through it. I don't mind letting you see what you need to see anyway. Oh, don't rush me tonight. Let me have my way. Let me just take my time and work with it. Because you need to see it. Hebrews 10 and 10, are you there?
Yeah.
The Bible says,
By the which we are sanctified
through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ.
Once for all.
Once for all. Now notice, by the which will. That's the second will.
Mm-hmm.
The second will is the New Testament. The first will is the Old Testament. Well, I know you think I'm making it up. Go up to verse 9. Look at verse 9.
Then said he,
Lo,
I come to do thy will.
O God.
He taketh away the first.
That he may establish.
The second.
Now what does he do with the first will? He takes it
away.
That's the old will. That's the old covenant. The Old Testament. He taketh it away. That he may establish.
The second. Mm-hmm.
Now notice, by the which will. See, a lot of folk don't read the verse right.
That's right.
You have people read that verse, they'll read all over it.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, by the which will, that's by the second will. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. For all, under the old system, under the first will, they offered animal sacrifices year after year. But under the second will, Jesus offered his body, shed his blood one time, and that was it. You don't have to go back and repeat it. He took care of it. So what that tells me, Jesus has a part in our sanctification. But just in case you don't believe that, come to Hebrews chapter 13, verses 12 and 13. You see, church, I'm just going to make it where you can see it. Honey, it takes some help to misunderstand what I preach. Somebody has to literally sit you down and say, don't believe it. Did you hear what I just said? Somebody has to literally sit you down and say, don't believe what he's saying. Because if you let the word of God come in, I'll tell you, it will change your life. His word is right. And I know that wind doesn't want me to get this, but I have it. Even though all of these papers, I still have my Bible. Isn't that all right? Oh, I don't worry about it. You know what I used to say? I don't say it anymore because preachers don't study like they used to anymore. I used to say stuff like this. It doesn't matter to me if the president confiscated all the Bible and burned them all up. I'll just call the preachers in the Church of Christ together and we'll put it back just like it was. So that doesn't bother us at all. Because we know the Bible is right. Oh, yes, that was a man. And the court and a trial, and the judge arose from the bench and said to the bailiff, come on up and swear of this witness in. And the bailiff said to the judge, Your Honor, we don't have a Bible. And the judge looked out and asked the question, is that a member of the Church of Christ in here? And an old man stood up, and the judge told the bailiff, go back there, put your hand on his head, and swear his memory. Oh, there's a Bible in the house. We have a Bible in this house. Oh, yes, we do. Thank you, brother. We have a Bible in this house. Isn't that all right? So we don't worry about our papers blowing in the wind. We have a Bible in this house. Hebrews 13 and verse 12. The Bible says,
Wherefore
Jesus also
that he might sanctify.
That he might sanctify
the people
with his own blood.
Suffer without the gate.
Let us go forth unto him without the camp.
Bearing his reproach.
You see, the people are sanctified by Jesus. We just read earlier. They are sanctified by God the Father. And then our opening text teaches us that we are sanctified by the Spirit. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all play a part in our sanctification. Go to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11. Oh, I'm trying to get to the end, but I haven't made it yet. So hold on a little while. I'll be finished in a little bit. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11.
And such were some of you.
But ye are washed.
But ye are sanctified.
But ye are justified.
By the name of the Lord Jesus. And by the Spirit of our God.
Now notice, we are now washed. We are now sanctified. We are now justified by the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Somebody needs to see how this sanctification takes place. John 17 and verse 17. Oh, we need to see it. Because if you don't see it tonight, you may never see it. And I need to help you to see it tonight. The Bible says,
Sanctify them through thy truth.
Thy word is truth. Now notice, if we are sanctified by the Spirit and sanctified by the Christ and sanctified by the Father, I need to know, what do they use in order to sanctify us? Does God literally come down from heaven and make us holy? Does Christ literally come down from heaven and make us holy? Does the Holy Spirit literally come down from heaven and make us holy? Or do they use the word of God and make us holy? We must obey the word of God in order to become holy. If we don't obey the gospel, we will never become holy. Now I need to show you. You remember, we just read in 1 Corinthians 6 and 11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now notice, Paul was talking to the Corinthians. Isn't that right? Now, Paul told the Corinthians that they were washed,
sanctified, and justified. Yes.
The question is, what did the Corinthians do in order to become washed, sanctified, and justified? What did they do? What manner? What did they do in order to become sanctified? We need to see what they did. And if we see what they did, they became washed, they became sanctified, and they became justified. If we do what they did, we become washed, we become sanctified, and we become justified. But if we don't do what they did, then we don't become what they became. Now, I like you can't see it. You make me add 10 more minutes to the sermon. Let me tell you what I tell folks. When you don't say amen, that makes me think you don't understand. So now I have to keep on preaching until I feel that you understand. So if you sit up under this tent and don't say amen, you are just making this sermon longer and longer. I bet you I'll get some amens now. So if you don't say amen, I think you don't understand. Now, what do you do with a person that does not understand? You take your time. If you're trying to teach somebody English, you take your time. A, B, you have it? So if you don't understand, honey, I'll be here a while. You know what I told you earlier? Whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the bread, for a precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Honey, if you don't understand, I have to keep putting precept upon precept, line upon line. I have to keep going here a little and there a little. And before long, you'll get tired of me going here a little and there a little. Let's see what the Corinthians did. They were washed, they were sanctified, and they were justified. But what did they do? Now, what I need you to see is this. Many epistles that you read from the book of Romans all the way through to the book of Revelation, most of the things you read in those epistles took place during the Acts of the apostles. Now, I need you to understand that. If you understand that, you can get a better understanding of the epistles when you read them. You see, Paul went to Corinth. Before Paul went to Corinth, there was a brother Paul went to Ephesus. There was a brother in Ephesus by the name of Apollos. So Paul left Corinth and went to Ephesus. And the brother Apollos left Ephesus and went to Corinth. Now, Paul went to Corinth first. Apollo went to Ephesus first. So if there was ever a pulpit exchange, it started with Paul and Apollo. Did you get it? Now, I don't really like them myself. You'll be all right. But now watch this. And you need to see it. Because in Acts 18 and 8, watch the manner of their sanctification. And that's really what I'm working on. I want you to see how they became sanctified. Because they were washed and they were justified. But in Acts 18:8, the Bible says,
and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on
the Lord
with all his
house,
and many of the Corinthians.
Of the Corinthians.
Hearing.
Believed.
And were baptized.
Now notice what the Corinthians did in order to get sanctified. The Bible said many of the Corinthians hearing, believed,
and were baptized.
If they heard right, they believed right. And they obeyed right. They were baptized right. Because they heard right and believed right. They went through the manner of sanctification. And if you are going to be sanctified, you must go through the same manner. You must go through the same process. Without this process, you will not be sanctified. Now, I know within that process, there are some implications. There are some things implied. And you need to see the implications. These people heard, believed, and were baptized. Now, it is not stated that they repented or confessed. But let me tell you, it is implied that they repented and confessed. And the reason I know is because Jesus said in Luke 13:3, I tell your name, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So a person cannot be saved without repenting. So it is implied that they repented. And then in Matthew 10:32, he said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. So I know they confessed, because if they had not confessed, they could not be saved. So when I look at this process, they heard, believed, repented, confessed, and they were baptized. I don't know if I told you all this or not. But if I did hear it again, I just remember the first time I went to preach in Florida. And I need you to hear it. The first time, Brother Mitchell, I went to Florida to preach. The preacher picked me up from the airport. He said to me, he said, "Preacher, we're going to get together. We're going to get with some other preachers. And we're just going to sit around and shoot the breeze. We're going to a Jamaican restaurant down there in Jacksonville, Florida. And we're just going to chew the fat." You know, this, you know, chew the fat. That's just preacher talk. Folks just sitting around talking. Preacher, we're going to just sit around and talk. Oh, we were going to shoot the breeze. And man, we went in that Jamaican restaurant. And I ordered me a little that jerk chicken, you know, that hot stuff. And I'm trying to be a man, you know, yeah, and give me the jerk chicken. Boy, that stuff tore me up. But anyway, these guys tore me up worse than that jerk chicken. As we were sitting there, one of the preachers said, "I get sick and tired of these Church of Christ preachers talking about five steps to salvation." And then the other preacher said, "Well, when I build my new church building, I'm going to build one building for my a cappella singers and another building for my band players." But I soon discovered we were no longer chewing the fat. I soon discovered these guys were serious. And then I asked the brother, I said, "Brother, where do you go to church?" He said, "I go to Woodmont Hills." Well, a little light went off. That's where Reuben Shelley used to preach. And I knew then liberalism was on the table. And I said, "The preacher, you said you don't believe in the five steps." He said, "No, that's not in the Bible." I said, "Well, I'm thinking now, what do I need to do? This is my first time coming to Florida. And if I stand up against these guys, it may be my last time." So I had a decision to make. Do I want to come to Florida twice or go to heaven once? And I made my mind up. I want to go to heaven once instead of coming to Florida twice. So I went over to Acts chapter 2. I said, Peter said, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you. The patriarch David, he's both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath unto him that is the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on his throne." And in verse number 37, when they heard this, I said, wait a minute, that's step one. They heard this. Oh, yes, they did. The Bible said when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. I said, wait a minute, that's step two. They believed what they heard. The Bible said, and they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" I said, wait a minute. A confession is acknowledgement. They acknowledge that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Peter told them in verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly God has made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." In other words, they were confessing that they believed that Jesus was Lord and Christ. I say, now fellas, that's three steps. And let's see, when we read verse number 38, if we can get the other two. The Bible said, then Peter said unto them, "Repent." Wait a minute. That's step four. Isn't that all right? Peter said, "Repent and be baptized." That's step five. I say, wait a minute, fellas. There are five steps. Isn't the Bible wonderful? Now, this brother was supposed to come and be the singer at the meeting. And when I stood up for the truth, he never showed up, but we had church anyhow.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? You see, all of these folk who think that we can't do without them, let them die.
That's right.
Or they don't have to die, just don't show up. I was preaching at a church, man, and they had one of the renowned singers. Boy, I mean, in the meeting, they had him, the renowned singer. Oh, he was cutting up. He was singing, and it was great. And I got up to preach. I said, "Church, didn't we have some church here today?" They hollered, amen. This before the sermon. I said, church did not go out seeing the day. They said, amen. I said, I hadn't had church like this since last Sunday. See, we get all carried away, honey, but we do this every Sunday. We praise the Lord every Sunday. God can do without me.
That's right. Amen.
What was he doing before I got here?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
What is he going to do after I'm gone? The same thing he was doing before I got here. Amen. God doesn't need me. I need him.
Amen. Amen, brother.
So don't get so big that you think the church can't make it without you.
That's right. Amen.
These guys were talking that talk, but the Bible is right.
Amen.
And we need men who will stand up and preach it.
Amen.
Stop compromising. The Bible is right.
Amen.
Not only are we sanctified, but we are in the sanctified church.
Amen.
And I need to tell you, the church of Christ is the sanctified church.
Amen.
Oh, you don't believe it? Come with me. Ephesians chapter 5, I'm almost finished. Come with me. In verse 25. The Bible said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So all men love their wife as their own body. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as Christ the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And for this cause shall a man leave
his
father
and mother,
and shall be joined
unto his wife,
and they two
shall
be one flesh.
This
is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ
and the church.
Nevertheless, Jesus is married to the church. The church is sanctified. She's been set apart. She's been set for God's use. And I don't mind telling you, we don't need any help to spread the gospel. We don't need denominationalism to help us spread the gospel. You see, Christ is married to the church. And church is the fullness of Christ. In Ephesians 1, verses 22. And 23, for the Bible says in the text, and has put all things under his feet, and may gave him
to be the head
over all things
to
the church,
which
is his body,
the
fullness
of him,
that filleth
all
in all. Listen to this. The church is the fullness of him.
Amen.
This word, fullness, actually comes from a Greek word, pleroma, which we get a peris. This word means, want you to get it. It means, I feel. Watch this. This word means, I feel. This word is complementary. This word. And I want you to get it.
Amen.
When it comes down to the church, the church feels the needs of Christ. And Christ feels the needs of the church. Now watch this. The church is the fullness of Christ. The church complements, supplements, and makes Christ complete. Just like a wife supplements. Compliments and makes her husband complete. You don't see it yet, but you will see it now. When Adam was without a wife, God opened his side. You know Genesis 2, 18 through 24, and took out a rib. Well, when Adam lost that rib, Adam is now incomplete. So in order for God to make Adam complete again, God took that same rib, made a woman, and that woman fulfilled, complemented, and made Adam complete again. She made him whole. Now watch this. Christ didn't lose a rib, but Christ lost blood. Christ took that blood, bought that life supplements, complements, and makes him complete again. Now you need to see this. Sister Mitchell, I will tell you right now, will tell you that she complements, supplements, and makes Brother Mitchell complete. Sister Mitchell will tell every woman in here, she doesn't need your help. Isn't that right? She takes care all of his needs. Did you catch it? She takes care all of his needs. So what that tells me, the church of Christ takes care of all Christ's needs. So when Christ says, go preach the gospel, he's expecting the church of Christ to go do it. Amen. We don't need any help. Amen. Ask Sister Mitchell. Amen. If she needs any help. Y'all got it? Man, all you have to do is stop, think, and make this thing plain so people can see it. The sanctification of the Spirit and the sanctified church needs to be seen by the whole world. Now, you want to be sanctified? Guess what you have to do? You have to obey Christ. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the thing which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. You want to be sanctified? Obey him. You want to be set apart? Obey him. And when you obey him, he will add you to the church of Christ, and you can get up saying, I know I'm sanctified. I'm in the sanctified church. Because Christ's blood sanctified me. He washed me in his blood. And I know men and women need to come to Jesus. You need to come tonight. I think I've said enough for one sermon. If you don't say amen, I'll add some more. I think I told you the last time I was here, the longest sermon I ever preached was 2 hours and 55 minutes. So I don't mind preaching. You may look up here and you may see that old fat man has all that wind. Honey, I walk 5 and 6 miles a day. I just go eat it back up when I finish. But I do that walking so I can talk to you.
Amen. Amen.
His word is right.
Amen. Amen.
We need to become sanctified, set apart, made holy for the services of God.
Amen.
You've heard the word today. You ought to believe what you heard. Repent of your sin. Confess Jesus Christ and be baptized. I'm going to talk about it this week. I'm going to talk about baptism because somebody has been trying to water down water baptism. And I'm going to show you God doesn't want us watering down water baptism. God put water in the plant and we ought to leave it in the plant.
Amen.
His word is right.
Amen.
Song leader, you ready? You ready tonight? Somebody ought to say yes to Jesus.
Amen.
He died for you.
Amen.
He was buried for you.
Amen.
Resurrected for you.
Amen.
Sitting on the right hand of the Father for you. Making intercession for you. And one day he wants to come back for you.
Amen.
But you must be ready.
Amen.
Get ready, I'll guarantee you he'll take you home.
That's right.
Do you want to go home? Let's start tonight. Let's start on this journey tonight and ask the Lord to help us in our difficult times. Ask the Lord to help us. I know we may get weak and weary, but the Lord is powerful. He has all strength, all power to keep us in the straight and narrow way. You ought to come to Him. We're going to stand. We ought to come. You ought to come. Right now, you ought to come. Now is your time to come to the Lord. Song leader, we're ready. Somebody ought to come.
Song 5.
To come to the Lord. Song leader, we're ready. Somebody ought to come.